We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
We take time for Jesus. My friends, today that we look into a lot of people that are sowing their seeds into corruption and one thing or another, the seed that I desire to sow in your heart is not your money in my bank account, but it's the seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation of your soul. There's many things that goes on in the world, and for money is one of the things that people cherish more than most anything else. But it's time we take notice of the things that which in Jesus was telling the apostles in the book of Mark in the 4th chapter about when he was talking about the sowing of the gospel, not sowing this seed into someone's bank account because he's preaching prosperity and everything. The Bible tells me that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto us. The problem is in the world today that people are seeking the shortcut through other means to get wealth and have fame and fortune. But I thank my God today to know that when we go to thinking about the Word of God as being the seed of salvation put into our hearts to bring us into repentance, we got to realize that Jesus was talking to the apostles there about the sower, which he was talking to the parable there in Mark, the 4th chapter. But as he went out and told them about these things, he also gave them the interpretation of concerning the people that were in, that the seed fell amongst stones and fell amongst the thorns, fell on good ground. My friend, we got to realize that the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ was given to the apostles for yours and my benefit, and not for the benefit of bringing forth wealth, but for salvation. Because the wealth of this world one day will perish if you'll read your Bible like I encourage you to do, and you'll find out that the time will come to where the rich man will howl and holler and carry on, and even to throw his wealth into the caves with the bats and everything, but it's not going to buy you salvation. Believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the atoning price that he paid for your salvation through his shed blood on Calvary, we got to realize that's the only way. It was freely given us. It didn't cost you anything but the world, you might say, but nevertheless, money can't buy your way into the kingdom. Neither is it going to buy the way of these prosperity preachers. It's going to get them into the kingdom of God by your sowing your wealth of their seed that they're wanting is your dollars into their ministry, wherein that they teach you at all these things. If you give unto them, it'll be shaken down and measured out, blessings beyond all your expectations, and add to you multiple dollars and things. My friend, I'm not after your money. I'm after to win a soul for the kingdom of God, because that's where it's going to amount and be prosperous to you as that you gain eternal life and be able to live without any depravity, any devilments coming around and doing things to you, without sickness, without sorrow, and without being in distress of any kind. But that's the only way you're going to get into that place that Jesus said, I'll go and prepare for you, is to be prepared. You got to repent of your sins. Otherwise, you'll pass on into eternity by death a second time. If you by some reason fall into the grave, you'll be resurrected. And if you're not got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, then you'll be cast into hell the second time, which is the second death. So take heed into it and read your Bible and find out what God has to say about the sowing of the seed, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he instructed the apostles there and gave them instructions to bring forth and to enlighten us, to tell us about how that we could get into the kingdom of God and how that we can miss out because of the way that some people interpret the scriptures. My friend, it's time that you begin to learn and understand that God is not after your wealth. He came and died for the salvation of your soul, not for your money. Of course, it takes money to make these broadcasts and have their big monuments on their TVs and so on and so forth, and their big things that they have in their way of lifestyle, of the big important things, their big condos and the big mansions and all of their big stuff that they want and desire. But I'm after winning your soul, my friend. I don't care about these big material things because I read the word and it said these things will pass away with a fervent heat. So why should I gain any prosperity for that? All I want is to win a soul for the kingdom of God. It said them that win souls are wise. Them that build up bank accounts might be considered to be a little bit on the foolish side, I was thinking. But nevertheless, as we look into the scriptures about the sower, let me go first to the time that, now I know that I have preached unto you about the destruction that is coming upon the world and the events that are happening. And if we look into Ezekiel, when the Lord told him about the time that he would make him a watchman on the wall, we got to realize that he told him this for the benefit of the people of that day and also for yours and my time, to tell us of the destruction that's coming upon the land. Ezekiel was given a commandment, and when the Lord told him he made him a watchman on the wall, then that's what he done. So get your Bibles over to the 32nd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, if you have them, and I would encourage you to do so and get you one and read for the Word of God for yourself. Don't take my word or somebody else's about what it is, what it says. Read it, then you'll know what it says. It's the Word of God, and you're either going to believe it or disbelieve it. If he that believeth and repents, then baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of his sin, accepting it through faith, can have salvation. But in the meantime, while you're looking up, we're going to pray, and my wife's going to have something other here for you. So as we go to prayer, let's pray one for another that God will give us a better hope and understanding that by the reading of his word, and not be carried away by every wind of doctrine for these prosperity, charismatic type people that bringing forth other than that which Jesus taught the apostles. Heavenly Father, we thank you today to know that your name, there is not Father, not Son, and not Holy Ghost. Thou is the Father of creation, the Son of redemption, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, and regeneration, all in one, made up in the name of Jesus, that put a face on the invisible God and came into this world to die for sinners such as we. I thank you today to know that your word of God is, your words are truth, and that you gave to the apostles, that they gave to us, even to the last one, was that Paul met you on the road to Damascus as a great light, as Moses seen you in the fiery bush, and as he met with you in the darkness of the cloud upon Mount Sinai. My God, we just pray that you would touch the hearts of the hearers and they may receive into your engrafted word into their lives and call upon the name of the Lord. We praise you and we thank you and we give you the glory and the honor for all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Here's my wife. She's got something for you here.
Well, I just thank the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon to share with you what he's laid on my heart. And as Brother Compton was talking about the parables, the reason Jesus spoke in parables was so his children would understand what he's talking about. So if you have a problem with your reading the parables and everything, talk to the Lord and he'll show you what they really mean. They're spoken in ways that might be hidden. It's almost like clues, you might say, into way of life. But I just thank the Lord that he has given us an understanding. Not that I'm bragging or anything, but before you read your Bible, if you'll pray, and he'll give you the understanding. But I just thank the Lord again today for what he's done in our lives through doing the broadcasts and everything. I know we're not popular, but that's okay. Jesus wasn't popular either. But it would be appreciated, you know, if you would really take time, send us an email, or share something with us through the mail. It would be very much appreciated. But we pray that you'll be blessed today by the message. And as we enter these last days, we need to read the Bible more and to get a closer walk with the Lord. And I want to share with you today, it's out of the Daily Bread, it's every hardship. Like many towns, Enterprise, Alabama has a prominent monument. But the monument in Enterprise is unlike any other. The statue doesn't recognize a leading citizen. It celebrates the work of a beetle. In the early 1900s, this boll weevil made its way from Mexico to the southern U.S. Within a few years, it had destroyed entire crops of cotton, the primary source of revenue. In desperation, farmers started growing another crop, peanuts. Realizing they had been dependent on one crop for too long, they credited the beetle with forcing them to diversify, which led to increased prosperity. The boll weevil is like things that come into our lives and destroy what we have worked hard to accomplish. Devastation results, sometimes financial, emotional, or physical, and it is frightening. We witness the end of life as we know it, but as the people of Enterprise learned, the loss of what is old is an opportunity to discover something new. God may use hardship to get us to give up a bad habit or learn a new virtue. He used a thorn in Paul's flesh to teach him about grace. In 2 Corinthians 12:7 to 9, instead of striving to preserve old habits that are no longer effective, we can view every hardship as an opportunity for God to cultivate a new virtue in us. God often uses bitter experiences to make us better. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, where God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Sometimes we wonder why things happen to us and everything, but it's God's way of getting our attention, I believe. But you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com, or you can get us 24/7 at www.phoenixbroadcasting.com, and you can get it 24/7. And as I said before, we'd appreciate a lot of people out there that are listening to take a few minutes, write to us, send it to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. We'd appreciate your feedback, whether good, bad, or indifferent. It's okay with us. We'll just pray about it. But today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. Jesus said in Luke 13, "Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." It's not only to raise your hand and believe, but it's to repent. Jesus said, and again, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." If you don't know what repent is, it means turning your back on the old things and taking a new life on. I know. I've been there. I've done that. I wasn't real bad, but we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And our sin is as righteousness. You maybe have a bad temper. Not a sin, but it's not pleasing to God. And if you don't know what these unpleasing things are, read it in Proverbs. There's 7 that God hates. And may God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, here's Brother Earl.
As we look at the scriptures and we find in them that God is trying to let his people know what he is and what he is not pleased with, Ezekiel was chosen by God to make a watch, to put him on the wall to watch for the people of Israel. And he was told that if he didn't warn the people that the sword coming upon the land, which was destruction, it was able to kill and destroy, if he didn't warn them, then their blood would be required at his hands. But if he warned them and they taken heed, then their blood would be spared. He wouldn't have to suffer the consequence for not warning them. But if he didn't warn them, he would have to suffer that consequences. But Ezekiel warned the people of Israel about the sword coming upon the land, about the destruction, about how they would be carried off in captivity. So did Jeremiah, but the people ignored him and listened to the false prophets like they do today, saying, no, it won't be 70 years, it'll only be 7, but it was 70 full years according to the writing in Daniel. They was warned about it, but they take no heed. This is why I was trying my best, the only way that I know how, by the reading of God's word and understanding that we're living, my friend, in these days that we're in, that the sword is come upon the land. We see the destruction and the things that are happening, but are you taking heed? That was my purpose, to warn you that your blood may not be on, that won't be on my hands. But if you don't take the warning and heed to the word of God and repent, and then the sword comes up on and takes you out and you die in your sins, your blood will be on your own, not on mine, as it would be many others that are teaching and preaching this end time message for the people. But I want you to know that I was talking just a few minutes ago when Ezekiel, the 7th chapter there, he was speaking about there in the 19th verse. He said, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowls. He calls it to be a stumbling block of their iniquity. So you take it from the word of God, not because I said it, but take it from the word of God. And we got to look now into the place of where we're in, that the seed is sown when Jesus was telling the apostles there that the seed, he declared it to be the gospel. The faith in God is the only thing that we need to look to, my friend. The silver and the gold of this world and these people that are gaining these things off of your back, and them out there preaching their prosperity and all that, is going to be, as it said in Ezekiel the 7th chapter, they're going to cast it into the streets. It's not going to give them the opportunity into the kingdom of God. When Jesus told the apostles there to go out and preach the gospel, he told them not to take any silver or gold, not into a pocketbook, in other words, if you want to call it that, or a purse, he called it, not into a second pair of shoes. But some of these people today won't even pack a shirt unless they got $3,000 or $4,000 in their pocket, and they won't do anything without the money that you give to them. They're on the TV and everything that would be forth. It costs a lot of money, and I realize that. But are they really and truly going to the place to where in that they're doing it for the salvation of your soul, or are they doing it for the gain of their personal wealth and everything? My friend, it's come time to realize that the things of this world will be destroyed. But Jesus wanted the apostles to understand when he was talking about the sowing of the seed. Now, these prosperity people is to sow your seed, and they're speaking about material things, and prosperity is wealth of money and the dollars and cents. I want to sow the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ into your heart, that wherein that it will bring you into the faith of Jesus Christ for salvation for your soul. The seed is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As he told the apostles there, many times people have went into the world and they've sowed their seed, and many people have given their life as a testimony of what they preached and what they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not for the wealth of this world, my friend. It was because they wanted to win a soul for the kingdom of God. Then many of them gave their life in order to do so. I don't find too many of them doing that today, but nevertheless, every once in a while you hear about it. We see that the things that are happening across the land, simply because of this movement that goes along and planting your seed. My friend, the seed of the gospel is going to bring salvation to your soul. This old world is in a predicament because of sin and violations of God's laws that he gave to us, by the things that people are doing, judges and lawyers and one thing or another, and presidents and mayors and one thing or another, upholding things that are ungodly and bringing forth destruction upon the world because they won't read the Word of God. Well, you may find a few once in a while that will, and they try to abide in it, but my friend, there's only one gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and him crucified. He died for yours and my salvation, and no other can do it, no other has done it, and no other way can you get into the kingdom of God except through the veil, the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about it. When the back in the old economy or back in the under the law, the priest could not go into the holiest of holiest without blood to put on the mercy seat of God. And he had to be uncontaminated. He didn't have, no one could touch him or anything could be there that was unholy there. If he did, he stepped in behind that veil and he died. They had to pull him out from behind the veil. You couldn't go in there and get him. You had to pull him out. Some says they had a rope tied around his leg, but some said they used a shepherd's staff with a hook on it. But nevertheless, they pulled him out. They didn't go in to get him. Because he went in there because he was contaminated. Jesus Christ came into this world and he became the chief shepherd. He became the one that was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which was the prince of Salem, had no beginning, no end, no father, no mother, but he was a representative of eternal life. God himself visited Abraham and took a tenth of what he had. My friend, you owe that to the church or wherever you go to get fed. You don't go down to Winn-Dixie and get your groceries and go over to Publix and pay for them. You pay your way as you go, and all God asked was tithes and offerings. He didn't ask for all of your wealth that you could put into hundreds and fifties and thousands of dollars into their bank account. He just said, believe the gospel and repent. We got to believe what the apostles was taught, that Jesus gave them commission to bring to you and I, and the authentic of it is that Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was the one that told them, and he prayed for them that the Father not take them out of the world, but to keep them in the world, that they was not of the world. But he said, and to them that will believe upon their words. And that word was they came forth preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was the one that done the healing, not them. But he was the one that done everything, because the scripture firmly tells us without Jesus, we can do nothing. But these people that come along and making merchandise of your soul is going to reap that they sowed, and it's not going to be pretty. But I want you to understand that when Mark was recording there when Jesus was speaking to him about the parable of the sower. He said, "Hearken," in the third chapter, he said, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as a sower, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, when it had not much earth, and immediately it sprung up, because it had no depths of earth. Some fell upon the, it was, well, they were scorched. When the sun come up without any moisture or anything, the sun scorched them, and they dried up because it had no root. It withered away." Well, that sound like some people? Well, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprung up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, Jesus plainly told them about this. He wanted them to understand that the salvation only comes by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the apostles wanted you to hear. What they wrote as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some people, some preachers even go to say, "Well, you can't believe what a man said. Man wrote the word, true enough, but they was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write unto you and I the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The only hope that we have is in him, not in the riches of this world, not in the material things of this world. We was not bought with these things, but we were bought by the precious blood of Jesus. That's the only thing," he said, "without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin." So money can't buy our way into the kingdom, and the things of this world, we can't give that instead of our soul. We're going to be required of God to repent. That's what he said. "Except you repent, you will likewise perish." So now we come to the place into where did the seed that come into your ears, did they fall on the good ground, or did they fall amongst the thorns, or did they fall in the stony places, or just by the wayside? We got to realize that some people in this world fits in each one of these categories. When we begin to read the scriptures and understand that Jesus was telling them there that when he was interpreting the writings there about the seed, Jesus, when he told them that it represented types of soil, that's what it was represented. You see, man was made out of the dust of the earth. So we are acquainted with, as the scripture says, that that the worms is our sisters, our brothers, even to the time that David penned that he said he was but a worm. Well, so it be. And we go into the earth, back to the earth from which we came from. So don't be deluded on these things, my friend, that you just ushered right into the kingdom of God, regardless of how you believed or what you believed, or believe the doctrine that I'm going to go to heaven to whether I want to or not idea, or it just God is so great and so good, in which he is. I believe that with all of my heart. But he's not going to tolerate our sins and go to say, "Well, I can't destroy you because you was unrighteous and everything. Just come on in." It ain't going to happen like that, my friend. We got to repent. As he told Nicodemus, was a Pharisee there, and he was in the temple there. But God went to him, and when he went to the Lord to ask him about how he could win eternal life, he said he must repent. You got to be born again, in other words. You know, it's going to belong or go and join up like you would the army or something other like that. You got to be born again. You're born into the kingdom of God, not because you went and signed your name on a roster somewhere or another and became a member of some organization in one place or the other. You got to be born into the kingdom of God. If he told Nicodemus, which was a Pharisee, he was in the synagogue. He was supposed to be a righteous man, but if he told him he had to be born again, then do you think that you're going to get by, or I'm going to get by, or anybody else is going to get by and offer gold and silver and the material things of this life, when he said we wasn't bought with those things, was by the precious blood of Jesus. So we got to believe in the blood that was shed there at Calvary. We got to enter in as it was in the days of old when the children of Israel was in Egypt. The death angel passed over them because of the blood of the lamb that was upon the lintel and the doorpost of the house. They had to go in behind that and stay there. Death angel came by and passed them on by. The only thing that's going to pass you by from eternal death. Now, we all are going to maybe go by the way of the grave, and then some's going to be remain to be alive at the return of the Lord. But nevertheless, that old earthly body's going to deteriorate. It's going to fall away. We'll be changed. But in the grave, when the worms eat up the body and it turns back to dust, the spirit is going to wait upon the judgment of God. And when that name is not found on the Lamb's Book of Life, he's going to say, depart from me. We're not going to be able to stand there and give an argument to him, because he's the judge of all judges. And he will judge rightly. And he knows the hearts of every man. And he even made the statement that their hearts was wicked in every way. The only way that we can get cleansed from our sins is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Have a renewed mind, a change of heart, turn around and go the opposite direction from which we was going in this life, and follow after Christ. But I want you to think about it, my friend. That seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ has been sowed many, many times. There's no one, I don't guess, in this world, if he could ever hear, if he can see and read, he's come in contact with the gospel of Jesus Christ some way or the other. Now, whether he believed it or not, that's entirely up to him. He can accept it. And that way, on the wayside, they heard it, but they didn't do anything else about it. They didn't receive it into their heart, so they fell by the wayside. They was trampled over, and they go in their own direction on a road of destruction. Some of them come along there, and the seed was fell by the wayside, and it failed to respond to the seed of the word of gospel sowed. So Satan quickly removed it, lest they should have been saved. The impulsive people, the stony ground, those who are immediately received the gospel, did not count the cause, have no root spiritually related to themselves, relying upon themselves, in other words, to do whatever they choose to do. They didn't receive it in themselves. They believed for a while, and then soon was offended because of the gospel. They defected from the truth because of persecution. They rejected the gospel as speedy as they received it. And you got to realize, my friend, if you don't let it soak in, if you don't receive it with an open heart and believe into it, it's going to be like it just fell upon a stony ground. It take root for a minute or two, but no depths, no earth to hold it, to sustain it. And when the things come up, the heat come up, and it destroyed it. It's likewise with the people that it fell among there, the stone. It didn't get deep, and it didn't come into them rightfully, and so they left it aside. Satan quickly snatched it away from them because of his false teaching. And a lot of this is going on in the world today with denominations and things of teaching another Jesus. I want you to understand, my friend, there's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you going into some other direction and you trying to climb up another way, it's not going to get there. There ain't no back door into heaven. Ain't no side window. And you can't tunnel in, but it's through the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, absolutely no man, can get in there except through Jesus Christ and his shed blood, which he shed for the world, but the world's not receiving him. But the world will receive you if you reject the gospel. and you don't let the seed of the gospel, the truth of God's word, burn deep into your soul to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and be converted, then the world is going to be your God. And the God of this world is the old boy we call the devil, and he's going to do everything he can to deprive you of that promise that God has gave us for eternal life. He knows his destination. He knows he's just got a short time to go, and he's going to be cast into hell with all the false prophets and all them that disobeyed God and didn't believe, and his name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, is going to be cast into hell, which the Bible says is the second death. So we're not going to escape death in any way you want to look at it. You either die once to sins of the world and live forever, or you die once in the sins of this world and be resurrected to be died again, to be cast into hell because of unbelief. So it's up to us. It's a thing that's individually between you and I, you and God, and me and God. I can't do it for you, nor you can't do it for me. It's got to be you with God and me with God. We got to repent of our sins. I can't repent for yours. I can't forgive you of your sins. Jesus is the only one that can forgive you of your sins. People over there somewhere or another, these priests, they call themselves, are going to forgive your sins and everything, and so on and so forth. There's a lot of nasty jokes out about that, but we won't go into that. But I'm trying to get you to understand that seed of the gospel, the seed of righteousness, Jesus Christ and him crucified, is the only seed you got to really rely upon. If you let that be planted into your heart, repent of your sins, come unto the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing that he is and will be there your potential to save you from your sins, and you can have eternal life. But money ain't going to get you there, my friend. And your material things of this world, no matter how big a house you live in, if it's under a tent or whatever, whatever you got that you think that you can trade for your salvation, other than that you trade your sins for the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to make the difference. But many people, but when he come along there and he said, the impulsive people that fell on stony ground and immediately received the gospel that counted them, but soon was offended, deflected from the truth because of the persecution. Some people makes fun of people that because they claim to be Christian. Some of them even dare to cut their heads off because they won't deny Christianity. So what are you going to do? Are you going to receive God in the engrafted word of God into your heart and hang on to it? Or if when a little bit of persecution comes and somebody makes a little bit of off-of-the-wall color comment against you being a Christian and all this here, you're going to give up and go back into the world? I hope not, my friend. But when we learn about the things and them that fell amongst the ground there amongst thorns, I want you to think about this carefully now. When he gave the interpretation of that and the thorns, and he said that after that, that they came to be preoccupied people who's among thorns allowed illegitimate matters, cares of this world, and intimate matters, deceitfully of riches, and the lust of those things to take priority over the gospel, and some people good ground. But we'll get into that in a minute. Some of the people have come to the churches and they received it into a certain amount there, but they fell among thorns. How many times have you been to church and you've heard people more or less talking about last week's football game or something else of that nature or some party they had or some place like that there? They seem to be more interested in those things than they was in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They let these things come between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. They become careless. They become more apt to go along with the things of this world and putting Jesus out of the picture, as the world has done in most places. If we looked at how that these people come up and they went against the Bible reading in the schools and the prayer in the schools, the Pledge of Allegiance and these things and so on and so forth, which made this country great years ago. When I was a boy, we done all these things. And I thank God for it, because it put something in my heart, down deep in my soul, to believe that the scriptures could be fulfilled. But today they banished these things. Guess what? The devil brought the guns in, brought in the dope, brought in all kinds of things, bullying, one thing or another. People getting all head up on dope and one thing or another, committing suicide, bringing the guns in there and shooting their fellow man for no reason, because that the devil has come in as a roaring lion seeking that which he may devour, simply because that people like the world is today have rejected Jesus Christ and put him out, as they did in the old economy when the Jewish told him, when Pilate stood there and said, "What will I do with the King of the Jews? We have no king except Caesar. Crucify." And they took him out and crucified the Lord of glory. And I'm telling you, my friend, there's a lot of the world today is still saying, "Crucify, crucify." And so I want you to think about it, my friend, that when we begin to think about these sowing of the seed, remember, the seed is the gospel, not in your pocketbook, or not sowing it into somebody else's pocketbook. That's sowing the seed of prosperity. But the seed of the gospel, repentance, believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and turn from your sins and worship him in spirit and in truth, be found in the place of worship where the gospel is being preached, and not some off of the wall stuff and everything, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is being upheld and preached by them that will stand firm on the foundation, which Jesus is the cornerstone of the building. He found that the builders, that they should have known, them Pharisees and things should have known about it, but they rejected him and had him crucified. So the stone that which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and he's the head of the church, and not so and so and such and such. The body of Christ is them that have been born again. You're born into the kingdom of God. You don't pay your way in it or go join it. And it's not here and it's not there, but it's in the hearts of every believer is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. My friend, when you turn aside and go to thinking that here he's over here, he's there, and he's nowhere else, you're leading in the wrong direction. Jesus will come into your heart regardless of where you're at. When he told the woman at the well of Samaritan there, see, they thought they could only come to that place. But he said, there come a time in which is now that you would worship God in spirit and in truth. Not into a special place, but in spirit and in truth. But many people today come and they got to have a certain time, a certain way. I can bow my head any time, or stand up and raise my hand and bless the Lord of glory and call upon his name anywhere I'm at, and I believe that I can be in touch with him. It's not in this place or that place, and I ain't got to bow to the east and cry out to Allah and bow down my head and everything, but I stand firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the apostles taught, which Paul was an ambassador to the Gentiles, chosen of God to bring this gospel unto you. And it was not different from what the apostles Peter and them taught. It was the same Jesus. Hallelujah. We got to realize that there's only one way into the kingdom of God, and that's through the door. Jesus Christ and him crucified. So it's time that you let the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ go deep into your soul, deep into your heart. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and come to him. It won't cost you nothing but the world. But then the world's going to be full of people that's going to fall into hell because that they chose the world rather than Jesus Christ. They chose the world and its pleasures of life in the seeking after the things, the pleasures, and the lust of the flesh, and the wealth of the world, rather than seeking after the kingdom of God. They believe into the things that they can see, but they can't see no further than the end of the nose. But nevertheless, if you look beyond the things that you can see and see that the kingdom of God, Jesus, standing there, come unto me and I will give you rest. Come unto me and it will quench the thirst that you're longing for. He will be that that thing that will bring forth the eternal life into you. It'll bring it to you, and you will understand it if you'll read what the Bible has to say. Quit believing all this here stuff that you hear over the radios and everything without confirming it with the Word of God. Believe what the Lord has to say about your life, the way you live, and eternal life, and where you can live. It's up to you. I can't make you. Wouldn't even try. No more so than I can make you send me money, and I'm not even trying to do that. But many of you are sending your wealth to these people that they're not doing anything but after your money. But friend, I'm after winning a soul for the kingdom of God. That's why I want to plant this seed. I want you to believe what the Word of God says, to plant it deep into your heart, that where you'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and give you the opportunity of salvation and eternal life. I didn't do it. And these other people didn't do it. But if you want to send your money to them and hope that they're somehow or another that you're going to be blessed of God and you're going to get millions back because you sent him $100 or whatever, and that God's going to help open up the kingdom of heaven, and he's going to pour out you blessings upon blessings, multiplied and this and that thing with it. You want to believe all that there and the lies that they spread around about it because they got somebody there that favors this kind of stuff and they're doing it for their benefit? My friend, if you believe the gospel, believe that Jesus Christ came into this world and sowed the seed of righteousness, but the world's not receiving it. But them that fell on good ground, the seed that fell into the hearts of the people and they take it, believed upon it, had faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for the salvation of the soul, they want to have that very promise that the Lord gave them, the promise of eternal life, and he would return and receive them unto himself. They believed it. They brought forth fruits of the Spirit. Some 50, some 100, some 60, and some 30. But it was seed of righteousness, not seed of wealth and these things that they come up with. But my friend, it's repenting, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Oh, I know that the old harlot church preached that the Father was one, the Son was another, and the Holy Ghost was somebody else. But the Scripture says that they're one. God was invisible, but he was therefore incarnated and come into this world as a man that called Jesus. And he come, and there's no other name given among man whereby that you can be saved. He was Father in creation, Son in redemption, the Holy Ghost in regeneration, but they're all three one. They're not separated. What would it look like, a God that came up with three heads? One of them called Father, one of them Son, and the other the Holy Ghost. Father is not a proper name, it's a title. Son is not a proper name, it's a title. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the living God, which came back on the day of Pentecost, as he promised them there to bring forth a comforter which will lead and guide them in all truth. So you got to be led by the Spirit, my friend, not by Houdini or somebody, but by the Spirit of God. And by the Spirit of God, you're going to get by reading the Word of God, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, accepting the atoning price that he paid for your sins there at Calvary. Over 2,000 years ago, that precious blood of Jesus is still capable of washing your sins. Though they be red like crimson, they can be made whiter than snow. Though your sins be black, he can cleanse them and make them white. He can forgive you, but he's the only one that can do it. The man in Italy over there can't do it. He can go through a bunch of rituals and everything and fool you, but he can't forgive you of your sins. He needs to be forgiven himself because he's a harlot and he rides on the beast of the harlot. So, my friends, if you want to join that harlot church and believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but believe that there's three in there that they teach, that's up to you. But let me tell you, read your Word of God. Read the Scriptures. Find out for yourself. Start with John, the first chapter, and you'll find that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 14th verse said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. They took him and crucified him, my friend. But he said, if they'd have known, the Scripture said, if they'd have known who he was, they would not have crucified him. But they was darkened by the sins of the world. The devil and the god of this world blinded their minds to where they could not see the truth, even though they was waiting on the Messiah. But when he came, they rejected him, had him crucified. And that's where Israel is today, because they rejected the King of Kings and accepted a man called Caesar for their king, and they crucified the Lord of Glory. My friend, when he was up on the cross, he reached out there to him and his hands stretched out into the world. And he looked up and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm glad that he forgave me for being a part of the crucifixion, because I was a sinner, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and I added a lot to that cup of bitterness he drank. But I'm thank God today that he forgave me from the cross, and I'm still knowing that my sins are under the blood, knowing that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe that God is coming back some one day very soon, and he's going to bring forth that which he said he would. And the world and all that is of the world is going to perish. But them that have their name on the Lamb's Book of Life and their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb will be received of him, and he will be with him for eternity. It's up to you, my friend. As I encourage you, read your Word, as my wife has asked to just merely write us. But my friend, today, we want you to understand the seed of the gospel is the only thing is going to get us into the kingdom of God. Believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you write to me or whether you ever get in touch with me or not, is not the issue. It's to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. He's the only one that died for your sins. Oh, yes, I would appreciate a letter from once in a while, and it would encourage me. I'm doing my best to encourage you. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. Receive the salvation from him and win the battle over sin by the grace of God and his help that will bring forth to you. Only through him can you go into the kingdom of God, because he's the door of the truth and the way. But if you want to travel to that broad road of destruction, that's entirely up to you. He's not going to force you. Many times things happens in people's life, and God's trying to get their attention, but they just disregard it, and they fall headlong into destruction. I went down the road, but I want you to know I heeded the call, and I thank God today to know that he is my Lord and my Savior, and he is all in all to me. I believe in him. I believe in the sacrifice that he made. I accepted the atoning price that he paid for me into that cup where I contributed much to. As Paul said, he was not worthy. And I say the same thing, but through his grace and because he loved me, he brought me into the plan of salvation. So may God bless you until next time, and we'll give you the opportunity to hear what God has to say. But take time for Jesus. My wife gave me a note. Here she is.
Every week I do a pamphlet. It's Take Time for Jesus. It has our logo on the front. It's got a spiritual message on the inside and on the back of it. But if you'd like to have it, you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. And we also invite you to watch, to listen to us 24/7 at www.phoenixbroadcasting.com. And we just pray today that this message has been a blessing to you, and it'll help you get closer and closer to the Lord as we approach the end time and the days of the Lord is coming soon. Read your Bible and pray before you do, and ask Him to give you interpretation of what it really means, because He speaks in parables, but that's for His children. If you're one of His children, then you'll know what He's trying to say. And we just appreciate each and every one of you. Email us. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you're listening. Give us some feedback. Give us some encouragement to keep going on. It's very heartbreaking, you know, when we just think, well, maybe we're just flapping in the wind, as they used to say in the old days. But we just pray that God is blessing you with His word each and every day. May God bless you. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. May God bless you in the name of Jesus.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are